Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Uneasy Street. The Anxieties of Affluence is a sociology book by Rachel Sherman that examines how wealthy New York parents understand their money, status, and responsibilities in an unequal society. Based on in-depth interviews with 50 affluent people, including financiers, lawyers, artists, professors, and stay-at-home parents, the book challenges simplistic cultural images of the rich as openly selfish or complacent. Instead, Sherman shows that many affluent liberal elites experience real discomfort about privilege, often trying to see themselves as ordinary, merit-based, or only temporarily secure. The book is less interested in exposing scandal than in explaining how affluence is lived, justified, and normalized. It also shows how social norms around privacy and polite silence make it difficult to talk honestly about class and inequality. As a result, the book offers both a close look at elite self-understanding and a wider account of how inequality becomes easier for society to accept. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how affluent people avoid identifying as rich or upper class. One of the book's most revealing findings is that many wealthy interviewees resist direct class labels. Sherman shows that people who are objectively affluent often prefer softer descriptions, such as comfortable, fortunate, or middle class, even when their income and assets place them well above most households. This reluctance is not just semantic. It reflects a deeper discomfort with being seen as beneficiaries of privilege and a desire to maintain a morally acceptable self-image. Many interviewees compare themselves not to average families, but to the very wealthy, which helps them feel less exceptional and less responsible. Sherman uses this pattern to show how class identity is socially managed rather than simply measured by income. The result is a form of self-positioning that makes privilege easier to live with because it narrows what counts as rich and keeps inequality psychologically at a distance. Secondly, meritocracy and diversity as moral frameworks for privilege. Sherman pays close attention to how affluent liberal parents explain their lives through the language of meritocracy, hard work, and openness. Many do not see themselves as traditional elites who inherit power without question. Instead, they present their status as deserved, earned, or at least consistent with a fair system. At the same time, they often endorse diversity and social equality in principle, which creates a tension between their values and their material position. The book's insight is that these commitments do not eliminate privilege. They help make it feel ethically manageable by believing that success follows talent and effort. Affluent people can imagine that their lives are legitimate without having to confront the structural advantages that helped produce them. Sherman does not treat this as simple hypocrisy. She shows it as a common cultural logic that allows people to reconcile liberal ideals with unequal outcomes, making privilege feel less like domination and more like reasonable reward. Thirdly, financial anxiety can persist even at high income levels. A striking theme in the book is that wealth does not automatically produce a sense of security. Sherman found that many affluent families, especially those dependent on finance or a single earner, worried about instability, job loss, market shifts, and the future cost of maintaining their standard of living. These anxieties are important because they complicate the assumption that rich people live without fear. Sherman shows that high earners may feel vulnerable precisely because their lifestyles are expensive and tied to volatile labor markets. In that sense, affluence can generate a constant need to protect, manage, and justify itself. This is not the same as material insecurity in any broad social sense, but it is a real form of pressure that shapes everyday decisions. The book uses these worries to show that wealth is not a fixed condition of ease. It can be experienced as precarious, especially when social expectations keep rising faster than a family's sense of what is enough. Fourthly, silence about money helps normalize inequality. Sherman argues that one of the main social mechanisms sustaining inequality is not public celebration of wealth, but ordinary silence. Her interviewees often followed a norm against talking explicitly about money, home values, inheritance, or advantages. This kind of discretion can look neutral or polite, but the book shows that it helps conceal how class works. If people do not speak about money, then differences in access, security, and opportunity become harder to name and harder to challenge. Silence also protects affluent people from having to defend their position or acknowledge the scale of their advantage. Sherman's analysis is important because it shifts attention away from obvious displays of luxury and toward the everyday habits that make privilege less visible. In this sense, the book is not just about what wealthy people think privately. It is also about how social etiquette and conversational norms allow inequality to appear ordinary, almost unremarkable, even to those who benefit most from it. Lastly, the book explains wealth as a social relationship, not only a financial fact, rather than treating affluence as a simple matter of income. Sherman presents it as a lived social position shaped by comparison, morality, family life, and public culture. Her interviews show that wealth is interpreted through relationships with children, spouses, peers, and broader ideas about fairness. Parents worry about transmitting entitlement, managing school choices, and deciding how much advantage is appropriate to give their children. These concerns reveal that privilege is not only something people possess, it is something they actively organize and defend in daily life. The book is especially valuable because it avoids both moral caricature and sympathy that excuses inequality. Instead, it explains how affluent people participate in the reproduction of class hierarchy while also feeling uneasy about it. That dual perspective makes the book useful for readers interested in sociology, class analysis, parenting culture, and the moral contradictions of contemporary American inequality. In conclusion, Uneasy Street: The Anxieties of Affluence is best suited for readers interested in sociology, class inequality, elite culture, and the moral psychology of privilege. It will be especially useful for academics, students, journalists, and general readers who want a serious, research-based account of how wealth is experienced from the inside rather than mocked from the outside. The book offers practical intellectual value by showing how affluent people talk themselves into feeling ordinary, how social norms hide class differences, and how inequality can be reproduced through everyday habits of speech comparison and family decision-making. What sets it apart from many books about the rich is its methodological restraint. Sherman relies on qualitative interviews rather than sensational anecdotes, and she focuses on ordinary elite self-understanding instead of scandal or excess. That approach gives the book unusual clarity about how privilege is normalized in liberal professional circles. Readers looking for a nuanced analysis of contemporary American class culture will find that it explains not only how wealth operates, but also why it often escapes scrutiny. If you would like to support Rachel Sherman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.